E1, number 12A.
So say, if we take principle, say, what shall we take? Principle operates. Huh? No, that's a too common one. Let's take structures. Huh? And see that if we have one principle, and this one principle really is constantly operative, we have to know what this principle really is doing in its infinite operation of being. So the law here says, principle, when I say principle, naturally I have the whole sense of a science, of a system, see, a whole sense of an infinite structure there, a very definite sense of a harmonious structure, of a self-governed structure, of a self-operative principle. Then I begin to see principle structures itself out of itself, out of the whole principle. Oh, God, is that beautiful. You know, one's whole life just, rests on that law here right away. How on earth could we ever make any progress in science, in the spiritual understanding of science? How could he ever see something new in science? And not just embellishing the old paradigm, but how on earth could we suddenly have a new paradigm? Where do we get that? Huh? We get it right out here, out of the very fact that principle, which will always be the one principle and the one infinite principle, that one infinite principle is a principle of a structure. And therefore, structures itself, out of itself, out of the whole science and system of principle. Therefore, it does not structure itself out from Christian scientists, not out from people, not out from my theoretical thinking, not out from academical scholarly attainments. It doesn't come out from there. There is a seed within itself in principle which says, I, principle, as the science of infinite structure out of myself, always new. And it says, I structure myself, principle structures itself through the whole of principle. Namely, through applying the whole system and the whole operative power of the divine system of principle. It isn't so that it only uses a part of the system to structure itself. It always, the whole structure of principle is always in operation and in movement and in activity. It's ever operative by rearranging itself, re-relating itself, reordering itself. And that's how we can see that it really restructures and structures itself through itself. You know, at the beginning you feel, well, this is just doing the beats, huh? A bit rote. But my God, if one has lived with those laws and have seen how they have been operating and how they have been the core of one's life achievement, then naturally they are terrific. To see here that principle structures itself out of the whole of principle, not out of a part of the system. See, that's the danger. I have always seen that if one is aware of the whole of the system of principle and does not look out for something new, but is looking, so to say, inward into the system of divine science, and therefore is constantly contemplating the system and categories of divine science, that very ability is bringing forth new structures. In another science, you have achieved something, and then you say, what can I do next, as if it would be outside, an additional invention, an additional experiment. In divine science, it's different. We see here that a higher vision or a higher sense of structure and a large system of reference or whatever it will be will precipitate itself on consciousness by the very simple method of contemplating constantly the single, simple system of science itself. John Dolly always said, don't try to be original. Everybody tried to be original and tried to show something what the other fellow hasn't shown, because then he felt he was doing something more than the other. And he said, don't try to be original, because he could see this is the wrong method. He could see that everything must be born out of one's own loins. And the loins of principle is its own system. That's the loin of principle, its own system. And that system is very clear-cut, presented in Mrs. Eddy's works as the capitalized terms, categorized and interrelated. That's the system. Therefore, the clearer we see that simple system, the more that system has within itself the ability to restructure, to structure new structures. So that's the medium through which new structures, new views can be seen. Principle in the third phase structures itself as the whole of itself. You see, we can see that whatever is being brought out again is only again a aspect of the whole of principle, never only on a sideline of principle, on a little part of a principle. That just doesn't exist. In the Gestalt theory, we always see that every part reflects the whole in the part. And so it's always the whole that is under consideration. And finally, we can see that really principle structures itself for itself, for the whole of principle, or you could say, for the further interpretation of the structure of being. That's why we have unfoldment in the line of light. That's why today we think differently about the textbook than 100 years ago, though it is the same textbook. It's the same textbook, but what the textbook has been doing as the structure of the one principle, you see, is that the structure of that textbook or of that one principle has shown itself always as a higher sense of the textbook. But it's still the textbook. And so we have always that closed loop of the self-organizing principle. See, that's the interesting thing, you see. Let's say you have a textbook. One textbook. And that textbook doesn't change. And that textbook contains a principle, and that principle is shown forth in the textbook as a whole structure. But that textbook as a whole structure has been seen only step by step. First, perhaps only in a linear way, and more in a structured way, more and more in a cybernetic way. And you can ask yourself, how did that happen? What is that intelligence that is operating? What is that principle operating that can suddenly bring forth a new conception of the same textbook? Where do people take that insight? And the fact is that people don't take that insight from somewhere, because it is principle structuring itself through itself. It's the structure of that textbook itself that impelled its message on receptive thought. And only for what? Really for the glory that the science of being comes out clearer and clearer and clearer, always in a more delicate way of structure and restructuring. That's why we get such a kick out of the textbook. Yeah.
That's on the spiral, isn't it?
That's, so to say, on the spiral, you see. That law of divine science, because of the closed loop, because it always brings back through feedback a higher input, it has a closed loop, but a closed loop that always goes higher, huh? And spins higher and higher. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you have life. Yes.
I don't know that I've made myself clear before. When you say principle structures itself, I like to substitute an idea for the word itself, and I notice you haven't done that ordinarily.
You can't substitute an idea for itself, except the only thing you can substitute is to say the whole. Principles structures itself out of the whole of principle.
Can you say principle structures its science out of the whole of principle?
Yeah. You can, because then you just give a slant to the tone principle and say science, huh?
Yeah, just in the place of itself.
Yes. Because that's what is indicated through the symbol, principle, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's take life, and we have that sense, if we identify ourselves with the one life, and see that we are one with life, and that's our starting point. And we feel we have taken the standpoint and sat down on the right hand of life, capital L. And therefore we see that life eternalizes itself out of itself. Therefore it does not eternalize itself through material way of living, through hygiene, through diets, through corporeal concern about exercises that try to keep life going. Huh? It's really seeing that we are filled with the consciousness of life and see that alone life lives life, that life lives out of the one life. That life, capital L, is the only life force, the life substance, the life support. That's really what is there, the only life fullness and life force and power, yes? So that life lives life. And that life eternalizes itself through itself, therefore through the channel of life, not through the channel of food, exercise, adapting oneself to certain conditions, and so on. Today the world is full of mediums through which one could extend life. You can only extend life but not eternalize it. The only thing one can do through material mediums is to extend life until one becomes long and miserable in one's old age. That's usually what happens. that you can no more die a natural death, really. And I think the doctors become aware of that, huh? That wasn't it recently in the New York Times or so, a great article from the Medical Association asking for the right of the doctors not to extend life just for the sake of extending corporeal life and bodily life. I think that one has enough mercy on anybody that they also can die a right death. Huh? Because dying or not dying, life eternalizes itself through completely different methods than through longer human life or anything like that. I guess one will find out more and more that that is just not the way to do it. Anyway, Jesus never did choose that way. He was quite happy with 30 years to say goodbye. And so let's see that what eternalizes life is only life itself. That's the only medium through which life is being eternalized. Therefore, an understanding of life, life's conception of life, to be conscious of the isness and eternality and individuality and nowness and spontaneity of life itself, this is really the medium through which we eternalize life. Now, through which life eternalizes itself. And life eternalizes itself only as itself. You know, only as itself. Not as corporeal life. Not as human life. Not as old age. Not as more years of living here on earth. Not as longevity. Life eternalizes itself as the one divine life without any material connotation, without any human connotation, nothing like that. And therefore one can see that life eternalizes itself for the one and only purpose, namely, to establish the sense that life is, and not for the purpose of living longer on this earth, of living longer in a body. That isn't the purpose. Sometimes people think those who can live long are good Christian scientists, but it isn't true. It isn't true at all. Life has nothing to do with long years of living. Life has to do with something quite different. Did you ever notice in your papers recently that in Russia there is a man who is 156 years old and has just had pneumonia and has recovered very well, and that his wife is 106? And that he has been married, I don't know how much, how often, and that he has a family of about 120 people. Well, if that is life, I won't be in it. Yeah. Okay. Well, take truth, you know, in case as we just go through them. So you can see in truth, really. Let's just take that very questionable word like demonstrates. I say questionable word because we have seen a term, if it's not used in a relation, can be misunderstood. And so if we put that word now in its proper context, namely within the law of divine science itself, then we begin to get one's a higher sense of demonstration, because all the Christian scientists always talk about demonstration. They say, I have made a wonderful demonstration, I couldn't make my demonstration, I'm just about to make a demonstration. And what is meant by it is really demonstration usually is that one's own personal viewpoints and aims and desires are being fulfilled. Now here you really get a sense of demonstration, namely demonstrare, to show forth what it is, to make affirmative what is. Then we get a much higher sense of demonstration. And so we begin to see that truth always demonstrates out of itself. It is therefore not our affirmation of truth that demonstrates anything. You know, in that long period in Christian Science when all was really built on argumentation, on silent or audible argumentation, the feeling was that by affirming the truth, truth would work. So truth doesn't work without affirming it by people. That's a really poor sense of truth. It has to wait there to be something until people affirm it. So in the science of being, naturally we begin to see that there is in being that fact which we symbolize as truth, namely that being itself affirms itself as what it is, so that it cannot be destroyed, so that it cannot be gainsaid. So truth affirms itself, and it does that out of itself, and not out of affirming statements of people. Not because people affirm that something is right or wrong, that something is true. Out of that mentality doesn't come really truth's own demonstration of itself. So we get right at the beginning a feel that in being there is such a thing which we symbolize as truth, which says being itself affirms itself to be what it is. To show forth, demonstrate. To show forth what it is very clearly, very definitely. And so truth demonstrates itself through the whole of truth. You can also call it the Christ. So it demonstrates itself through the medium of truth, not through the medium of we knowing the truth. See, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's right, but that is on the plane of metaphysics and of argumentation. The truth, knowing the truth, is to know that truth itself demonstrates itself. That truth knows its own truth and therefore demonstrates through itself the whole of truth. And one just can sit back and just see how in a treatment, or say if one has a lot of problems that have come to us and which we are asked to solve, to be presented to us as a list of patients or anything like that, at this level of consciousness you just can see there is only one truth, and that one truth is the truth of all the truth, and therefore truth operates through the whole of truth and not through specific truths, not through a specific truth at this point. When we come to absolute Christian Science, then it's different, but here it is what perhaps Jesus did realize when he healed the multitude, that he didn't have to know the specific truth, but to know that truth has one channel that is so big, so infinite, so whole, that within that channel everything is being met and covered, the one truth. And finally we can see that truth demonstrates itself as the whole of truth. You see, it's that point where we really seek the demonstration for the sake of truth and not for the sake of an individual healing. Where we seek truth not for a purpose or for a specific problem, but where we are so engaged in the one great search that truth demonstrates itself as the whole of truth, and therefore also for the one purpose to bring out the infinite affirmation, the infinite consciousness of truth, and not for any other purpose. Not for the purpose that we know the truth. You can feel in this law how the human, how the best human intentions have no room there. Not even they have a room there. In divine science, we have not a human science. In divine science, we have a divine realm, and it's that realm which does not know anything about the human, and therefore does not try to demonstrate any human motion. All right, let's take love. Love is really that climax of being, that climax of being which knows itself as its totality, as its completeness, as its all-embracedness, as its universality. Love that knows itself as a oneness and unity of being, where everything is whole and self-sufficient, self-contained, the infinite self-containment of love, where you just have a feeling of that infinite withinness of love, and out of that, love plans itself. Within that completeness, there is a plan. So that infinite self-containment is not just an undifferentiated whole. It's not a mystical whole, but it is a very planful whole.